It's time for your KDNK local newscast for this Friday morning, December 16th. I'm Gavin Dahl, live from the heart of Carbondale's Creative District. The head of Colorado's transportation system says increasing the state's gas tax and working with the private sector are the only ways to finish projects and relieve traffic congestion. Benta Berkland has more.
Facing a $9 billion budget shortfall over the next decade, Shailen Batt says he'd urge state lawmakers next session to send a referred measure to voters to ask for an increase in the gas tax. It hasn't been raised in Colorado since the early 1990s. Batt says it could fund many projects and ultimately help the economy and improve the quality of life.
I think there are priority projects across Colorado. When I go anywhere along the Front Range, people complain about going up to the mountains. There are climbing lanes in some of our rural areas. There are roads out in the Eastern Plain that are just crying out for repaving. We have bridges that need to be replaced.
Legislative leaders in both parties say transportation funding is a top priority, but whether they can set aside different approaches to find common ground will be decided in the next few months when they convene. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
A new partnership between Eagle, Garfield, Pitkin, and Mesa counties will assist veterans, disabled, and elderly residents with a shuttle. Running twice a month on second and fourth Thursdays, the GEM Connector Shuttle will drop off at Valley View Hospital and the VA Clinic in Glenwood, St. Mary's Medical Center, Grand Junction Community Hospital, and the Grand Junction VA Hospital. It departs the Gypsum Park and Ride at 7:15 a.m. and continues to West Glenwood Park and Ride, then to Rifle and Newcastle as needed, with the final stops in Mesa County. Pitkin County residents are able to access the GEM Connector through VelociRafta or RAFTA paratransit services. To qualify and schedule a ride on the shuttle, residents must contact their local transit agency or county veteran service officer. If Xcel Energy's new rates are approved by the Colorado Public Utilities Commission, electricity prices will go down slightly, but gas prices will go up by 9 cents starting January 1st. Based on filings made yesterday, natural gas bills could be 13% to 14% higher than Q1 of this year. Thanks to historically low nat gas prices, Xcel customers will still see lower bills than in years past. Speaking of prices going up, the Colorado Mountain College Board of Trustees met in Glenwood Springs this week, and a work session on tuition and budget in advance of setting tuition in January led to a headline in Thursday's Post-Independent warning an 11% budget increase could be set for next school year. Any changes in tuition or property tax revenues, including the continuation of a large projected drop in oil and gas property taxes, will have budget impacts. CMC's tuition rate for bachelor's courses has not increased since they were introduced, and trustees heard staff say that even with any tuition increases under consideration, the college would remain the most affordable in the state. CMC trustees will formally act on next school year's tuition rates at their January 25th meeting. Roaring Fork School District plans to delay the start of the 2017 school year by 2 weeks to minimize the impacts of the Grand Avenue Bridge closure and construction on facilities throughout the district. RFSD wants public input and has launched a new survey to gather feedback on their website. You can find the proposed calendar and survey at rfsd.k12.co.us. The Forest Service has released a draft decision on new projects at Copper Mountain Resort. The environmental assessment describes potential impacts of an alpine coaster, a new bike trail, more snowmaking infrastructure, and construction of a new drainage management system. Last week, federal regulators announced they will not reconsider their decision made last spring to deny a license for the proposed Jordan Cove liquefied natural gas terminal in Coos Bay, Oregon, and a 230-mile feeder pipeline. It's a victory for environmentalists and property owners along the pipeline route, but what does that mean for Western Colorado natural gas that industry, legislators, and trade groups want to export to Asian markets? For this week's news brief, KDNK's Amy Haddon Marsh speaks with Peggy Tibbetts, Silt resident and author of the blog From the Sticks, who's been writing extensively about this issue.
Jordan Cove and the Pacific Connector Pipeline are kind of interconnected because the Jordan Cove would be a natural gas processing facility to convert natural gas into liquefied natural gas to be shipped to overseas markets, Japan, Asia. And then the Pacific Connector Pipeline is what connects the Jordan Cove gas processing plant to the different markets and the whole pipeline stream that's out there just short of Coos Bay, Oregon. Now, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission denied the Pacific Connector pipeline. Hence, that denies the gas processing facility, because without the pipeline, you can't have the gas processing facility. Then Veresen, the company that it's a Canadian company that's behind the whole deal, asked for a rehearing, and last Friday, FERC denied their request for a rehearing.
Why did FERC deny this project?
There wasn't a need for the pipeline that outweighed the interests of the people and the environment and the economic interests of the area. They would have had to do eminent domain on 200 or more properties along the Pacific Connector pipeline. You have to show an overwhelming need, public need, that trumps everybody's property rights, because eminent domain is a taking of people's property rights. So an overwhelming need has to be shown in order to get something like that approved, and that just wasn't shown.
You make an interesting case for a lack of market demand with the example of the tanker having left a Louisiana terminal in September full of liquefied natural gas and is currently anchored off the coast of Egypt and has not delivered its cargo anywhere. I mean, you state that tankers can now be used as like storage containers.
Right. Here's the problem. There's really two ends to this argument. There's the Oregon end and there's the Colorado end. And in Colorado, I think, first of all, I have to say there's a lot of misinformation about the Jordan Cove project and the facility and what it could have potentially meant for the companies in Colorado and the market here for natural gas. That's how I got involved in this, is to refute some of the misinformation about, you know, this great market, as Senator Gardner has said, that exists in Asia. And just on November 23rd, Reuters was reporting that Japan's JERA company has not been buying up the natural gas. That was supposed to be one of the customers, and they're one of the biggest buyers of liquefied natural gas, LNG. Liquefied natural gas producers in Qatar and Australia, Malaysia, they're having to meet with Japan and Taiwan CPC Corporation to find out why the demand is so low. The demand is dropping, and there just are not a lot of the new customers coming on. And this is global. This isn't, we're not talking about domestic. But that's what this Jordan Cove was intended to supply, is the world market.
Recently, the scientist from the U.S. Geological Survey was in the area talking about her study that showed that there was this huge amount of natural gas under the peons. And I know that David Ludlam of West Slope Koga, it seems to me that he and other people were counting on Jordan Cove to be the end market for the gas and the peons. So I'm wondering how you think this FERC decision impacts plans for Peons Basin gas.
It could mean that proposed drilling plans for 2017 get shelved for now. But I'm not certain that it affects the current drilling rig count in the Piance Basin or the count for the foreseeable future, simply because I suspect and have suspected all along that the Colorado end of this have been touting the project as a way to get investors putting their money back into the natural gas market.
Right.
And this has been a way to pump up the market for them. And the reason that they're behind this, and the reason that Bennett and Tipton and Gardner and Hickenlooper and Ludlam have all been promoting this, is because the Colorado gas companies need investors. In order to stay in business, they got to drill. And in order to drill, they have to have money in it, and they get the money from the investors. With renewables trending and all the bad news around fossil fuels, and people are starting to divest, they have to do something to attract investors back into the market. So, hey, let's tout liquefied natural gas. It's the new big thing. But it isn't the new big thing. That's the problem.
David Ludlam told the Daily Sentinel that this is a last-minute retribution by a, quote, disgraceful and despicable administration whose shenanigans to stop infrastructure projects are once again happening on the back of rural Americans, end quote. And apparently, Mr. Ludlam is relying on the president-elect to fix this Jordan situation in short order. What's your response to that?
First of all, the Obama administration didn't make the decision. The FERC did. It's an independent board. They make the decision. I don't see how the Obama administration can be blamed for it. And in terms of fixing it in short order, it can't be fixed in short order. First of all, there will be no rehearing. The decision is final. If Verizon wants to reapply, they can do that. However, they will have to go through another environmental impact assessment. That's going to take a while. You know, perhaps this can be undone, but it's going to take new commissioners on the commission. It's going to take reapplication by Verizon. It's going to take an improved natural gas market. I mean, they're going to have to come contracts in hand. So fixing it in short order is not going to happen.
It sounds like for now, it's a victory for the people in Coos Bay, Oregon.
This is good news for them, and it's good news for the people in western Colorado and perhaps the entire state, because it means that without that market, then demand for Colorado's natural gas will remain at its current, you know, reduced levels. And that's good for our air and our water and for public health. What we can only hope is that this will depress the need and the march for drillers to go into communities and do residential drilling and fracking, which is just tearing up communities on the Front Range and on the West Slope.
Peggy Tibbetts, author of the blog From the Sticks, thanks again for joining me for this week's news brief.
You're welcome.
Yesterday, Verizon, the Canadian company spearheading the Jordan Cove project, announced that it plans to reapply for a permit.